Already it's fun. Isn't it? I'm having fun. Are you not? That was a rude welcome. And I apologize. Let's start over. It's a new year, right? Let's start over. Hi. I like you. Ugh. That wasn't good. Guys, it's hard. Starting over is hard. When you've done things a certain way for a certain amount of time, and you feel like, this is what I know, the end. It's hard to do a different thing, even though that thing is probably better. Why? It's new, boo. You know the expression, the devil you know? That means if you are friends with the devil, untold riches shall be yours. Better the devil you know. That's what people say, and they don't even, those ignorant fools, they don't realize that my people, that's right, I worship Satan. Did you ever see the movie The Witch? Black Phillip? The Delicious Life? No? You didn't? I'm genuinely asking. You didn't see that movie? Got like some good reviews? I mean, it's a horror movie, but it's not really scary. It's just more feeling of dread. Goat? Remember the goat? Well, that's on you for not seeing The Witch, and I can't wait till our Lord Satan returns and wipes humanity off the face of the earth. Is that his plan? I don't know. What's that dude? What's his thing? He's like tempting you to lie to your mom or whatever. So he makes people murder people, sure. But then also like, lie, tell your mother a white lie. Okay. You know, people talk about how God, you know, if watch a sporting event and then afterwards, like, thank you, God, for helping us win this game. Like, and people will say, was God, with all he has to do, he's paying attention to the outcome of this game? We don't ask that about the devil. He's just as busy. He's just as busy. But still, he's like telling some kid, like, go ahead, jerk off. I mean, it's a victimless crime, guys. What are we? Are people, can you imagine being in hell because you masturbated? Like, what am I doing here? This must be a clerical problem. That's right, clerical religion. Get it? I was building up to this the whole time, idiots. When will you learn? My friends, welcome to Spontaneation with Paul F. Tompkins. I am the second part. This is a show where I invite a special guest onto the program to join me in a free-form conversation inspired by a blind question from our previous episode's guest. Then I invite some improviser pals onto the show to join me in a narrative improv that is one continuous story as opposed to unconnected scenes, oftentimes utilizing details gleaned from the aforementioned conversation with the special guest and inspired by special guest suggestion of a location. And it is all scored on piano by Mr. Eben Schletter. That's what he goes like. Oh, my friends. We had a guest. That guest got sick. The first person I asked responded almost immediately. And I'm so glad that we have this guy back. Before everything wraps up, please welcome back to Spontaneity Nation, our old pal, Open Mike Eagle. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Paul. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I got unsick real fast when I saw you talk.
But before that, you were under the covers.
I was ill in public. It was terrible.
What happened? Are you actually under the weather?
No, I'm fine.
Look, I want to check.
I want
good things for you, Mike.
Yeah, I wouldn't come poison you guys' microphones.
That's what our guest said. Yeah. It was like, I don't want to get anyone else sick. Yeah. That's, bullshit.
Yeah.
Mike, I have a question for you.
Oh, wonderful.
This question comes to us from our previous episode's guest. This is, I think, a nice question because I think it will evoke a happy memory. Mm. But I could be wrong. The question is, when was the most attractive you've ever felt? It's a tricky question, kind of.
Okay. So when I go on tour, and I go on tour a lot, I'm usually pretty sedentary. I don't do much, So
right.
I eat whatever I want. I drink like fish.
That's right.
During and after shows. And I justify all this in my mind when we're on tour. Every time the van stops for gas, we get out and we do 30 push-ups right there at the gas station in front of everybody. Everyone in the van's got to do it.
I did not know. Have you recorded this for posterity?
Oh, yes.
I have not seen this on
many,
your socials.
Many minutes of me doing push-ups on strange curbsides. All across these United States.
And every time everyone does it.
Well, I always do it.
Right.
Because I'm one of those people, if I don't do it once, I'm never going to do it again.
Right.
So I do it every time. Mm-hmm. And other people, by watching me do it, are guilted into doing it.
Exactly.
So either they do it or they get made fun of for not doing
That's
it.
That's right.
So, yeah. But all of this to say, after any particularly long tour, I start to notice some push-up effects, you know? I started to get a little tricep definition,
Despite the eating whatever you want and drinking like a fish.
Despite just that little bit of muscle movement.
Right.
Intentionally starts to work against the terrible ways that I treat my body.
Mm-hmm.
And so after any long tour, if I see a picture of myself like at a show where I'm like, wearing a sleeveless shirt or something. Right. Well, hey, who's that guy?
How often do the sleeveless shirts happen, would you say?
More than they should.
How often do you find yourself like, oh no, did I put on another sleeveless shirt?
I have a drawer
full. I just pulled this off the top of the pile.
You know how you wear suits all the time?
I do.
I wear sleeveless shirts all the time. Constantly.
I never thought about it until you mentioned that, and it's true.
I've done shows with you where you were in a three-piece suit, and I was in a sleeveless shirt and some jogging pants.
That's right.
I get away with it. I don't know why I get away with it.
I tell you what, if I did even three push-ups, I'd probably wear a sleeveless suit.
Yeah.
Because I would know. I'd be able to tell.
Yeah. It's a little bit goes a long way. And I understand why people have I've known people with jail bodies, where all they do is push-ups and then they come out and they're kind of fat, but they're still they're muscly, right. Muscle fat.
Yeah.
Fat, muscly.
It's like the old the guy who would get the cannonball in the stomach in the old circus days.
Yeah, the guy who'd pull a truck with his teeth or something. That like the old strong man.
Right.
I start to take on a little bit of strong man if I do a bunch of push-ups on a bunch of consecutive days.
What's the longest you ever had to deal with a bad haircut?
Ooh, I'm in the middle of that right now.
No, really?
Yeah, because look, okay. I brought a photo of De La Soul's first album cover into my barber shop about 4 years ago. And what that meant was I wanted him to do a high top fade on one side and this little row of dreadlocks kind of on the other side. What I didn't think about is that hair eventually has to grow out.
Right.
And so now I'm fully committed to having dreadlocks on one side of my head and there's nothing I can do about it at this point. So I'm living that every day.
Short of just shaving your head, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I guess, I don't know, I thought that I would have anime hair, I guess. I thought I would have like crazy, like I would have the hair that goes with a big sword is what I was going for. Absolutely. But that's just not how it's happening. It's not happening. And it's, I don't know, it's not going to reverse course anytime soon. So I'm any day now, I'm just going to cut it all off. But that would be me admitting defeat.
But you... Well, what else can you do?
I mean, nothing. It's a bad decision.
I will say the bringing any kind of illustration into a barber mm-hmm. is such a vulnerable.
It is.
To it's so, but if you want it to look the way that you want it to look, what else could you do? Because just describing it to the person, it's never going to work.
You know how I should have known it was a bad decision? I brought him a photograph.
Right.
And he was still very confused. It wasn't enough. I should have known then.
Is this your regular guy?
It was, but then I moved. And he's flaky.
Yeah.
And I used to, and when I moved, it got to the point where I had to drive a long distance to see him. Mm-hmm. He would ghost me.
So you'd show up for the appointment.
And the other barbers would be looking at me like, oof. haven't seen what's his face this morning. Did you talk to him?
Did you talk to him?
Exactly. Like they were waiting on him too.
So now you have a new person.
I'm in between people.
Yeah. It takes a long time.
Yeah.
It's a very personal relationship. I think we've talked about it on this show before. There was a guy that I went to for a while who did a great job, but he would talk so much.
Oh God.
That it added this unending amount of time onto the appointment. God. And to the point where he would step out from behind me to just talk to me.
No.
And it's like, no, we can't do this.
Oh my God.
Like, I have other stuff to do.
One of the guys I was auditioning, he did a great job on my hair, mm-hmm. but he did this thing. Yes. I had to treat it that way.
Absolutely.
Because I can trick myself into making a bad decision.
Yeah.
Continually.
Yeah.
So I had to treat it like it was auditioning people. But one of the guys, he was fantastic mm-hmm. on the hair part. But not only would he want to talk to me, he'd want to talk to me in a very low voice ugh. While listening to the radio. So I'm in a constant state of doing the equivalent, trying to nod without actually moving my head.
Yeah.
But I had no idea what he was saying ever.
Yeah.
Ever. No clue.
But you felt like you were searching for the moments where you knew you were supposed to react
yes.
in some way.
The rhythm of it.
Yes. Yeah. And give some sort of non-committal reaction.
Absolutely. Because I don't know what the fuck I was agreeing to.
I do like it, though, when I like it when someone, when someone who's cutting your hair talks more than they ask you questions.
Mm.
Like if they just go on and on, if it's a monologue, that's totally fine by me.
That's good.
You know, just go right ahead. But it's when somebody wants to ask me, because they don't remember. Like, hey, how's your kids? Like, I don't have kids. I still don't have them. I didn't have them before. I don't have them now.
And also, we tend to lead pretty weird lives.
Mm-hmm.
And the simplest questions are really like, what do I do for it? I don't want to talk about that.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to have that. Because then I have to say I'm a rapper and I have to say you haven't heard of me, but you already know you haven't heard of me, you know? But I'm right. Obviously I'm doing okay. I'm coming paying you real money for a haircut.
Yeah.
You know, like I have decent clothes on. I'm not a liar. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's this whole thing. You have to explain to people the universe that you live in.
Exactly.
And I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I just want a haircut.
I had to ask my wife after a while to not, if we were in like a cab or something like that, please don't tell
just
them.
Don't say it.
What I do for
just
a living.
Don't say it.
Yeah. Man. Please don't, because it's people feel sorry for you because
oh
they don't
God.
Know who you are. I've had so many people tell me good luck.
Yeah.
Like, hey, thanks.
I was on a flight with a guy recently, and he did the whole thing. He must have just done a line of coke or something. He was way too inquisitive. But he's like rich, and he like runs some data company or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, as I'm talking to him, he's like looking me up on his phone. But he's like pleasantly surprised every time, like if it was like a special needs kid that won something. Like
good
he was
for
just,
you.
Yeah, oh my God, this is actually real. You do things in real life that I don't hear about. It's very patronizing, and I want to opt out of that forever.
I do. I will say though, I like the initiative of. I'm going to look you up right now rather than ask you to explain yourself. Because, you know, especially for a performer, what have I seen you in? It's like, there's no way I can answer that question.
It isn't.
Tell me all the things that you've seen. Also, the answer is nothing. You've seen me in nothing.
Speaking of which, I watched one of your specials on an airplane recently.
Well, thank you.
I was actually at that special when you taped it.
Which one was it?
The one about the jobs.
Laboring Under Delusion.
Yes. I was at the thing and Mike, it was great. You. And I watched it on TV after that and I watched it on the airplane because that shit is good.
Are you saying this is your third viewing?
Might be fourth.
Thank you very much. That's still out there as far as I know. Yeah. People can find it.
Still on airplanes.
Still
getting that airplane money. Getting them residuals.
When you were, what's the longest relationship you had with a haircutter?
It was probably this last one before.
The flaky guy?
Yes.
Yeah.
He ghosted on me one last time and I had to really look at how I was letting him treat me.
That's right.
And I had to put one foot in front of the other and walk away.
There is something to the security of that relationship because there are certain jobs like that where, I don't know, like people that you know you're going to see again and again and again. And a dentist is one that's a big deal for me. And I have my dentist, the actual dentist who I see twice a year, I have no problem with, great. But the hygienist that I see more frequently.
Are they in the same office?
Same office.
Okay.
So the person that just cleans my teeth, we had a rocky start to our relationship. There was one guy, this guy Jose, he was the best. He had a great personality. My wife and I go to the same office. He was like really, he had a great attitude. It was like almost pain-free because he told me crazy stories about where he came from. The way they would do dentistry was hideous. Like he grew up in the equivalent of a foster home where it was like essentially they'd strap you to a board and they would just like no anesthetic or anything like that. It was horrible. And so he's it's like you don't even know what's happening. Uh-huh. It's crazy. But then all of a sudden I got shuttled off to this other person.
Yeah.
And she will it's like she's in a real rush to get it done. It's like, could you please slow down? This hurts.
Oh no. So I had a dentist in Culver City, and I say had because I haven't been in a while, to be honest. But part of the reason why, I was going there for a while because this is where the local place that accepted my insurance. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, cool. And so there's the guy there who was the dentist, and he's kind of a jerk, but he was the dentist there.
Right.
And I couldn't swap him out for somebody different, so that's what I was dealing with. And he's all of his plaques and everything are on the wall and everything. This is his place. I go in there one day and he's just not there. And there's a younger person there, but all of the older person's plaques are still on the wall. And nobody's explaining to me where the old guy is. So it's just suddenly this new person and I don't understand. And this new person who's young asked me while he was in my mouth, he asked me what I do. And he was real. I guess he likes music.
Right.
So he was really interested in it. And he said, I'm going to look you up later and all that. And I found this all very anxiety inducing. So after this, I went about my business and I tweeted about the experience.
Mm-hmm.
And he answered it. He found my Twitter and my tweet about him asking me what I do while he was in my mouth.
Now, you didn't say his name,
though.
I
know. I didn't know his name.
You just said I went. What happened? What did he say? I assume he wasn't happy.
Well, he wasn't upset. He was more like, ha-ha, sorry, I'm just curious. Something like that. But I was fucking mortified. I mean, it was a mistake. I shouldn't have tweeted about a person.
No, but that's supposed to be sacred that you can subtweet people.
Right. But
you're never going to follow
but
you.
You can't subtweet your dentist because you only got one dentist.
That's true.
Yeah. You're not just casting bullets out. You're shooting in a particular direction.
Now, have you been back to that office?
Yes, and there's a different person now. Not even the first person, not the young person. There's a fucking different person now.
Do you know this? Have you learned this person's name? And no. Is everything okay?
No. Everything seems fine. He seems to be a chill guy. And they have the same dental assistants. Everything is the same. So, the main person changes without explanation.
And you've never asked.
It's like Black Mirror. It's fucking odd.
Can I say I started to watch that Black Mirror Choose Your Own Adventure thing? And I was like, oh, I didn't know this was going to be work for me. I got as far as the cereal choice and I was like, I'm out.
Oh my God. You know, they managed to sneak a fucking Netflix commercial in the middle of that thing, man. Oh! They're bold.
That's bold.
They are fucking bold. Wow.
Mike Engel, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me, man.
It is, we're pretty close to when this is going to release. Is there anything upcoming that you would like to tell people
about? All my stuff is like secret and I can't say nothing until corporations tell me it's okay.
Absolutely. Well then, I would say follow Mike Engel on Twitter and he'll let you know then. What is your Twitter handle?
At @Mike_Engel.
There you go. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you have a website.
Yeah, MikeEngel.net, but nobody goes to that. Everybody just goes to the Twitter and finds out what's happening there.
Well, look, I've given you two choices, guys. It's up to you now. Thank you so much for being here. We're going to take a break. During the break, we will procure a location for our improv from Open Mike Engel. And when we return, you will meet our improvisers. Stay alive. No matter what occurs, I will find you. Oh, go back. Well, I can't tell you how many words I tried to say at the same time just now. My friends, it is time to meet our friends from the land of make-pretends. Seated right across from me, maybe you've seen her on College Humor, doing some skits. Please welcome back our friend Allie Beardsley.
Thank you.
Allie, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great today.
Your green hair is growing out.
It is. It is growing out.
It was very green.
It was super green.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a great shade.
It is now a color that makes middle-aged women come up to me to tell me how pretty my hair looks. And I have to explain to them that I'm not going for pretty, actually, as a butch person. But I'm just like, thank you.
It's very, what it reminds me of, it's very minty and it looks like a delicious candy.
Yes.
Because the darker hair coming in, it looks like that's a delicious mint chocolate taste.
Yeah.
Do people bite your head?
Mint chip? Babies do. Babies have been known to fly at me from across the bus. Yeah. Bus babies. I'm just covered in bus babies.
You gotta look out for bus babies. How was it? Did you get that initial green? Did you get that first try? Because I've never seen it that... That particular shade replicated before. Do you know what I mean?
I can't get too much into it, but let's just say I did lose dare. And the reason I have green hair is I had to get an Oompa Loompa makeover where I got a very orange spray tan and green hair, and I had to retake my license photo at the DMV. This is all 100% true. So I'm just dealing with the fallout of that, and I cannot wait to get like a bowl cut and get this green hair off of me.
Hold on a minute. When you show up at the DMV, does anybody say like, hey, what are you doing?
They felt bad for me. I mean, I didn't tell anyone about the dare. They were just like, hi. It was just like in their voice.
Because you have to act like I'm intending to look this way.
I'm sincerely here, and this is not like some like...
This is all on purpose.
Yeah, yeah. This is just me going about my day.
Have you gotten that license with the updated
file? I absolutely have, yeah.
Can we see it?
I don't have it on me.
How did you get here? Bus?
No. Yeah, I have my tap card. There's no ID that you need.
All right,
I hide that.
I don't want you driving around without a license, Allie.
No, I have my old license, so I don't even have to use this new one. I keep it frozen in a block of ice like a credit card.
Will you send me a picture of it?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah, I will.
Thank
I will.
You. All right. I think people will need to see it.
Yeah,
now.
Okay, cool.
I was surprised because I got my license late in life. I was surprised that you don't redo the picture every time.
No, and that sucks, right?
Yeah.
Because you're like, I look so much better now.
Yeah, I did not like my initial picture, which I also didn't realize was being taken at the time it was being taken.
No.
I didn't realize this is the picture that goes on the license.
They go 1, 2, 3 for like the first person that walks in the morning, yeah, and then for the rest of the day, it's like, click, go.
You didn't hear that 1, 2, 3 from a couple hours ago?
Yeah.
That was for everybody.
Yeah.
Allie, I have to look away from you.
I understand.
To look... kitty corner from you, right across from me. Next to me.
I have to meow because Allie meowed.
It's true. Did you meow?
I did.
Okay.
Oh, did I? No, I didn't. I just said I have to meow. Meow.
Thank you, Chris.
There.
You've seen this gentleman on Superstore on NBC.
Yeah.
It's a legitimate television show. Chris Grace is back.
Hi, Paul.
Chris, hello.
I'm so happy to be here.
I'm glad to have you back. What is your shirt? Scarlett and Emma and Tilda and Matt. So I'm going to say Scarlett Johansson, Tilda Swinton, Matt Lauer.
Damon.
Oh, Damon. Okay. And then Emma, I don't know, Thompson?
This is a shout out to Asian AF and Will Choi. These are people that have taken roles that they probably shouldn't have.
So Emma Stone.
Yes.
From that movie.
Aloha or something?
Yes. Yeah. Where she was 1/18th Japanese or something.
Vietnamese or something. Yeah. So.
Fantastic. Asian AF is a group here, an improv group here in Los Angeles.
Yes,
is that
and
correct?
Variety show as well.
And variety show as well.
And in New York, I think so. And they do very well. And they sold this shirt and I bought it because I liked the idea behind it.
Is it the same people on both coasts or is it a different company?
I believe
the same
it's, I believe Will kind of produces it and sort of oversees. They both have the same mission.
There we go.
Just to get Asian people on stage.
Turn an Asian into a Stasian.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's for free, Asian AF. You may have that.
Thank you.
Chris, I gotta ask you, have you ever had a bad haircut?
I went through a period in high school where I thought something that would be interesting about me would be to have long hair that just puffed up really high instead of having like a personality. And this is when, you know, all the cool kids had seen Eraserhead.
Oh, sure.
So I tried to get it up as high as like Eraserhead.
But was it short in the sides and the back?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I would like wake up and like comb it vertically to be interesting.
But you would have to use some sort of product, right?
Oh, no.
To
get it to. I don't know what it is about Asian hair, but it can kind of just stick up like.
I did not know that.
Yeah, that's true of all Asians. I'll just say that generally.
Asians, do you disagree? We want to hear from you. Text us 1 for yes, 2 for 3.
That was a bad haircut. I'm sure I have.
But you thought it was a good haircut.
Yes, I did.
That's the crucial difference.
Thought it was. Have you ever had one where I like regretted it?
Where you knew like this person fucked my hair up.
One time when I first went to college in North Carolina, and you go to a new location, you have to find a new place to get your haircut. In Winston-Salem, North Carolina, I went to a place called the Lion's Mane, M-A-N-E, and a lady there took like 90 minutes to cut my hair. And it came out looking real weird. And to stay on this topic, I think she had not cut too many Asian people's hair. Mm-hmm. And I think that sometimes if you cut it a little too short, it tends to stick out in strange ways. Mm-hmm. And so I did regret that choice. And also it took too long.
Yeah. Do you think it took too long because she did not know what she was doing?
I mean, she was going to look up in her books like, what do I do? No, I don't know.
I'm going to get the encyclopedia out.
Oh.
Well, that's terrible.
That might be her calling.
Oh, do you think?
Yeah.
It's like Mike's dentist.
I subtweeted her. Yeah, I subtweeted her. I subtweeted her like 19 years later, and she found me, and she's calling the studio now.
Chris, I got to look away from you. Mm. To look directly across from you, kitty corner from me, meow.
Meow.
Making his first appearance on the show, one of the hosts, along with our friend Edgar Montplaisir, of the great podcast Culture Kings, Jaquise Neal is here.
What's up, y'all?
Jaquise, welcome to Spontanea Nation.
Thank you, Paul.
We got so many questions.
All right, let's answer them.
Let me ask you, when's the time you felt the most attractive?
The most attractive? It was definitely like 40 pounds ago. And it was... That's it. It was 40 pounds ago. I was like, God damn, you look good. And then I just started eating, and it's been going downhill ever since then. Yeah, I was like, once you achieve like peak weight, then you can just eat.
It's true. You think like, well, I did it.
I did it. This I hit
my
goal.
This will be permanent.
Yeah, right. I did.
I love to, there's nothing like the feeling of looking back at a picture of yourself and saying, that's when I thought I was fat.
Yeah, I did. I was like, man, 160. Chad Case, you can do better than that. You can do better than that. Remember when you couldn't crack 150?
For the record, Jaquise, I think you look great.
Oh, thank you. I don't look as good as you, Paul.
What, Jaquise?
I want to say that you do have the best suit game in Los Angeles.
That's very sweet of you.
I had you at a show of mine, and you came, and you were the best looking person in the entire theater.
Well, that's not true.
I mean, besides...
That's very sweet of you to say.
Besides Kirby, probably.
That's right. That was a really fun show. I'd never improvised with Kirby Halbatis before, and it was such a blast. And this is an ongoing show.
It is.
That you do in L.A.
Yeah, it's called Dramedy at UCB. Fun show.
Many terrific people.
Yeah.
It's a blast. And
thank you.
Yeah, there's a lot of elements to it. They show clips, and then people either, you know, it inspires them to do scenes. They pick up where the clip left off from various things. But there's always a Law and Order, right?
Yes, my team does an improvised episode of Law and Order. I don't know why. So a lot of the people on this team I met in 301 of the Upright Citizens Brigade improv program.
That's a level of improv.
Training, yes. And I was on another indie team, independent team, and I came to them and they was like, oh, we want to do an improvised Law and Order. And I was like, why? Like, what's funny about that? And then we were like, all right, well, let's just figure it out.
What's funny about that?
I didn't get it, but I was like, I like you guys. So let's do it. And it's become our thing. And I love it.
Okay.
I love it. No, I love it now.
Okay, good.
I can't stand it, y'all. No, I'm joking. I love it now. It's so fun.
I still don't get it.
Who wants to see that?
Oh my, can I just say that? I don't know what's funny, but I like you guys. It's like the motivating force behind improv.
That's pretty much it. That's pretty much all of improv.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is funny or not, but I like being on stage with y'all. So
this wasn't my idea, so I don't get it. But we're friends.
Yeah.
Well, Jaquise, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Paul.
It's a pleasure. I'm glad we were able to get you in before the show wrapped up.
Oh, I'm so happy.
Yes, and thank you for being here. And we're going to be playing all together. It's going to be fun in mere moments, my friends. We have to take another break. When we return, we will reveal the location for our improv provided to us by our guest Open Mike Eagle, and then we're going to do that improv. All this and nothing else when Spontaneity Nation returns. Oh, we've done it. We've gotten to this part. My friends, welcome back to Spontaneity Nation. It is now time to reveal the location for our improv provided by our guest Open Mike Eagle. But first, just so as you know, in order to aid us in our storytelling, we use three sound effects that move us about in space and time. Let's say we're in a scene, we want to go into the past for some reason. Someone's having a memory, so we're learning how something came to be. Anytime we go backwards in time, we use this flashback sound effect. Now, if we want to get back to where we were, because you can't stay in the past forever, folks. Anytime we move forward in time, we use this flash forward sound effect. Now, this final button moves us only in space, not in time. Let's say we're in a scene, we want to find out what's happening at the exact same moment somewhere else. We use this meanwhile sound effect. Past. Present. Future. Everyone gets it. And now, my friends, it is time to reveal the location of improv. And that location is in a magician's apartment. In a magician's apartment. We take you now to in a magician's apartment. Well, thank you. This has been lovely, but I think I should probably be going.
Oh, you didn't want to stay a little longer?
Well, it's getting late. And, oh. You know,
I've been a little remiss. You came over and I didn't bring you any I didn't give you any flowers. Except right here.
Yeah.
In my sleeve.
Uh-huh.
That was a whole bouquet of flowers out of nothing.
Honey, did you give him the flowers yet?
Yeah, I did, Mom. It went over great.
Did he like it?
Oh, he loved it. Uh-huh. That's definitely going into my act.
These are two things you didn't mention at dinner, was that you live with your mother.
Yeah.
And that you're a magician.
Yeah, well, both of those things are more like a third date thing. I guess you're finding them both up. You know why? It's because we have a connection. I thought we'd step on the gas a little bit.
Right. Well,
just real quick. Just here, touch any card in this deck. Oh, perfect. Don't show it to me.
I wasn't going to.
Oh, you were never going to show it to me?
Well, I mean, until you said show me the card or resist your card or whatever. Like, I know how basic tricks go.
Well, you don't know how this trick goes. Mom, okay. Turn around.
Oh, this is so exciting.
Right. And now on my mom's right shoulder, she has a tattoo.
I just got it. What do you think it is?
And what was your card?
It was the Seven of Diamonds.
And my mom has a Seven of Diamonds tattooed on her shoulder.
I got to admit, that is pretty wild.
So,
I mean, is all the deck Seven of Diamonds? Is that how it works?
No. Look, they're all different. Oh. See?
Yeah, I was just closing up, but I could do one more tattoo.
I would like something.
Ma'am, it's 1 a.m. What
I know, but my son has a date tomorrow.
Oh.
And I really want him to get laid.
Okay, I don't really understand how a tattoo would help.
Now, the tattoo is bloody.
Yeah, no, it looks pretty fresh, yeah. But it's still impressive.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, but... I mean,
we're kind of a double act.
But I mean, now she just has that tattoo forever.
I'll do anything for my kid.
Yeah.
I'll do anything for little Jimmy.
Yeah. I mean, in a magician's parlance, I just need to force the right card every time. That's all. For the rest of her life.
For the rest. I guess that's.
I mean, I could change. After that, I could change what card I force.
Right. But I mean, you're going to find somebody else to get a tattoo of a.
Well.
Oh.
I don't want to be presumptuous, but you know.
Hey, man, you gotta stop coming in here and asking people to get tattoos for you, man.
Well, why? I mean,
we don't know you, man. You just get your hair cut here.
Yeah, but like, I feel like I have a connection. This is the longest I've ever gotten my hair cut with a certain person.
Yeah, I know. I've been cutting your hair for 92 minutes.
Yeah.
But you still can't ask me to get tattoos. This is a transaction.
Well, to be fair, it's only taken 90 minutes because the first 45 you were looking at the photo I brought and you were confused.
That's correct. You are trying
I wanted it to look like half Pikachu and half Kirby from Nintendo.
This is a black barber, man. I was confused as hell. I don't know what that means.
Oh, black people don't know Pikachu?
We do not. We do not.
Oh.
If you said Goku, I would have known what that was.
See, I don't know what Goku is.
All right.
Oh. Is TJ here?
I don't know, man. Have you talked to him?
So wait. So before your mother, you got someone else to get this? Say, I assume this was the first time you'd done this trick. You got other people to get the tattoo?
I had other people. I've had college friends get tattooed and stuff. But I wasn't very good at forcing cards back then. So they would often have the tattoo and I wouldn't get the person to pick the right card.
So there's you have a bunch of people in your life.
Well, four.
Walk, four people.
Meow. Yeah.
Good. What?
Meow. Did you?
That's
is that your cat?
Yeah, that's my cat, Vernon.
Hi, Vernon.
Meow.
Vernon, how old is Vernon?
14.
Vernon's a distinguished gentleman.
Yeah. I consider him the professor of cats.
What?
And if you look on Vernon's shoulder, is it's a something of clubs.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't maintain its clarity.
Did you tattoo a cat?
I didn't. No. I mean the shop around the corner.
Oh, yeah, I was just closing up.
I brought my my cat in. I know it's on the down low, but I heard that you tattoo
Look, man, if you buy a bong, I'll tattoo your cat. We got a bunch of we sell a bunch of random stuff here, man. If you buy some like cheddar cheese ruffles and a bong, I'll tattoo your cat right now.
Okay, yeah, yeah, I'll take some ruffles.
Okay, and some
I'll take
Dusty Halls. Okay, the cough drop.
Yeah,
I'll all right.
Be careful with Vernon.
Oh, I'll be careful.
Is TJ here?
Ah, no, man. Did you talk to him?
Go.
Well, is it working?
Mom, it's going great.
Is it going great?
He's really into me.
Do you guys want me to make you some SpaghettiOs?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's
some more food?
It's a little late.
It's only 11:42.
I'm good. I don't need any SpaghettiOs.
Okay.
But Mom, thank you.
Please heat up that special bowl of SpaghettiOs.
Ooh, okay.
What makes it special?
The letters.
Yes. Dave, let me just ask you, what was the name of your second grade teacher?
Miss Gadara.
Look at this bowl of SpaghettiOs.
Here's the thing. I'm impressed by this. 100%.
Good.
It's wild that you were able to do that.
Mom, it's going great.
But hold on. It's also, there's something disturbing about it. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely not.
No.
Well, this is...
Vernon, do you know?
Oh, Vernon. I don't know about... Vernon doesn't seem to be doing so good.
Wait, Dave, you're saying this is not working? Like, what's disturbing about it?
Well, it's... It would be one thing if I were watching a show. Do you know what I mean? But this is like we were on a date and we're hanging out now.
But
and,
isn't it like Shakespeare said, life is a show... That's always on every week at the same time.
I don't think.
And all the men and women are people watching that show.
that part for sure is wrong. But yeah. I think you're paraphrasing very liberally.
Life is a show that's on the same time every week. This is from The Merchant of Summer.
No, that's not a.
Hey, baby. Hey, this is one of my favorite monologues from The Merchant of Summer.
Oh, thanks for bringing me to this park.
It's the sequel to The Merchant of Venice.
Cool, yeah, cool. Yeah, yeah. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, listen.
You know, I really like when you tell me something new about yourself. You know, it's kind of hard to still find that 2 years in, but I love it.
Okay. Life is but a show that recurs.
Is that the WB
every
frog?
Every half fortnight.
Yes, it's the WB.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my honey. Farewell, thou ragtime gal.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that. No, I think
right. I guess I'm not familiar with that particular folio.
Yeah, well, it's disputed the authorship.
Okay,
yeah. But it's not you. You find it strange? I mean, I think anything is a possibility for wonder and play and imagination.
No, I get that. And you know, I think that's a good attitude generally, but
yeah.
Like not everything needs to be some sort of show. You know what I mean? Like if we were to be together, I'd want to know who you are as a person, you know, and you're very, you know, you were very kind of elusive, you know, in conversation when we went on our date.
Well, I can't really, you know, the more I let you in on...
So what do you do for a living?
I'm a fabulist.
What?
So yeah, I don't know. I just feel like if I let, you know, it's you know, how much do people know about Daniel Day-Lewis, for example? You know, not a lot.
But okay.
And I consider myself the Daniel Day-Lewis of home magicians.
I gave him that nickname.
You gave him the... Oh, some... Whoa.
Hey! Hey!
Somebody's at your door.
Come in, yes.
Hey, Jimmy. Look, I need you to do me solid, okay? All of my hairdressing clients have found out where I live. I need to lay low.
Who's this?
Oh, you know what? This is my friend TJ.
Come on, man. Please. They're surrounding the place.
Okay, good.
6 Ubers just pulled up.
Hold on. Let me just...
No one drives anymore, man.
Let me take
man.
A second to assemble my sub trunk. Just get here.
Okay, thank
stand,
you. Please.
Stand behind this curtain.
Are you going to saw me in half?
No, no, no.
Okay, thank you.
I'm going to hold this curtain up.
Uh-huh.
And then get into the trap door.
Okay. All right, cool. Thank you, man. Oh, I owe you.
What's the... the password for you to know that it's safe to come out?
Oh, how about you say Rosebud?
Oh, perfect.
Out of my favorite movie, The Merchants of Summertime.
Right. Oh, my God.
It's crazy how it ends like that, man. You remember that?
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah. Do you Well, this is all we found from his estate, The Merchants of Summer.
What a strange thing. Snow globe?
Oh, why would he say that?
Why would he say snow globe?
I don't know. Wait, look here at the bottom of the snow globe.
It says, see other side.
Well, the other side says, ask again later.
Well, we've done all we can, Rosebud.
Oh, thanks so much, man. All right, I'll just crawl in here. Ah!
Oh. Oh, there's some water and some Ruffles in there as well.
Cool. Yeah.
Do you want some SpaghettiOs?
I would love some SpaghettiOs. That's the best thing to eat.
Oh, wait, wait, TJ, who what was the name of your first pet?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Whiskers.
Look at the SpaghettiOs.
Ooh. Oh, shit. You know what? That's scary. That's okay. Scary, man.
It seems like you have a lot going on, so maybe I should leave now.
Oh, no, this is one of the calmer times that Mama and I've had in quite a while.
Get the fuck down!
He's shooting!
Mom, reload!
He's shooting!
Self-defense is not murder!
What made that happen?
It's something my mom has a lot of grudges that come back.
A lot of grudges? What did you... Yeah. Why would you have a lot of grudges?
Ooh,
you seem like such a sweet old lady.
The war.
The war.
The war was
Which war?
The Cold War.
Yeah.
The Cold War?
The Cold War was
You
such
know all
a...
those Cold War battles?
Well, I guess I don't. I thought the very idea of a Cold War was that you didn't have battles.
It took place in a very cold climate.
Mm-hmm. That's what the Cold War was.
So you're not talking about the situation between Russia, the Soviet Union, and America.
Between Russia and the U.S., it was in a very... All the battles took place in cold climates.
And so many grudges, especially with John. Ooh, that... John?
Yeah, here are the bullets that I borrowed from you. I'm paying you back.
It's about time. I've been waiting for these bullets for 14 days.
Okay, look, I'm sorry. All right, rations are running low, and it's so fucking cold.
How many things are you going to steal from me, John?
I'm sorry, okay? I borrowed. I borrowed them.
Expect this grudge to be held
for
25 years.
Wait a second. So you're the one holding the grudge?
I'm the one holding the grudges,
but
yes.
People are coming back.
Yes.
To you?
Yes.
Huh.
I don't get it either.
I feel like, if I may say, you seem like an unreliable narrator.
Well, my job is to get my beautiful son a date and have him have a wonderful night.
And she's so good at that job.
Yes.
And, I mean, look at, you're amazing.
Should I go make the bed?
Oh.
Whoa, wow. That's very, very presumptuous. But very modern.
Yes.
Yes, we are a modern household here.
You really are.
Yes, Mom, if you could go make the bed. Because even if it's just me, I just like a made bed.
That is...
I mean, isn't it great to just go to sleep into a made bed?
It is nice to go to a made bed when you're going to go
and
sleep.
And when I wake up, I don't make it. I just leave it
you
all
don't.
Rumpled.
I'll go make it for you right now.
Look, it's really important to her that I find someone to spend my life with.
Well, are you doing this for her? Are you doing this for yourself?
Mostly for her.
Well, that's...
But a little for myself.
Honestly, I think it should be the other way around. I think you should be doing this for yourself.
Well, I mean, what are you doing it for? What are you looking for?
Well, I'm looking for someone to, you know, spend my life with that, you know, doesn't have to be laughing at all of my jokes, but, you know, is okay with me making them. I want somebody who,
all the ones you made at dinner, I was okay with. I'm sorry I didn't laugh at many of them.
I mean, it would have helped if you'd laughed at a couple more. And so she says, screw him, give him a dollar. This swell lunch was my idea.
Oh, what year is this taking place?
I mean,
because they said swell.
I mean, I guess I didn't think about the time period that the joke was taking place. It's just the way that I heard it. And so
a lot of times I like the context of a joke in terms of what period, because then I know the vernacular that the joke is told in.
Right.
Ooh, those two people over there look like they struggling on that day.
Oh, my God. Right.
I mean, he has told about 4 or 5 jokes with not one peep of laughter.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like, this Panera is so quiet.
It's so quiet.
Everyone's listening.
Everyone can hear these jokes.
It's like he's at an open mic. He's falling hard.
He is bombing.
All right, should we get outside and start doing our push-ups?
Yeah, let's go do them. Let's go.
Well, do you want to maybe take a cab to my place now? I'm sorry I didn't laugh at that last one, but...
No, that's all right. I mean, then your place is so close to my place. Yeah, sure.
By the way, just what do you do for a living? Because as soon as I get in the cab, I like to tell the cab driver what you do for a living.
Oh, I'm an abortion protester?
I mean, and you just... You have a purpose.
Yeah. That's right.
I just figured out what you protest... You protest the abortion.
Yeah, I go to abortion clinics and I, you know, one of those people with the signs.
Hey, look, man, I've been looking over your finances and it just kind of seems like you haven't really been pulling in that much money this year with all your protesting.
Well, I mean, you know, this is, you know, it's been a lean year and, you know, we work for tips. So,
I didn't know that.
If you ever see us on the news, there's always like, you can usually see it in the frame. There's a jar.
There's a tip jar. Yeah.
You need to get out of here. This clinic needs to be protected. You cannot protest here.
Human life begins at conception.
By the way, great job.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Oh, thank you. You just put it in the jar over there. We pooled them together and then we divvy them up.
Oh, no. I wanted to go to you. You were the best. You made me the angriest.
Oh, well, thank you. That's nice to hear.
Don't share this with anybody.
You're not going to get an abortion, are you?
Maybe.
Oh, it's working. So, what you're saying is I'm not getting this loan.
Yeah, man. And look, you seem like the kind of guy who wants to go out on a limb, all right?
I really do.
Take a risk.
Yeah.
And that's what you're doing with your job right now, but I came across something that might be even easier for you.
Really?
It's like an Airbnb. Airbnb.
What?
It's
like
an Airbnb.
Okay.
Birthday. You know that website, Airbnb.
Yeah, and where you celebrate your birthday in someone else's house.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So it's like that, but it's for dentist's office.
Huh.
They have a fully functioning dentist's office there, okay? You got plaques on the wall. You got a receptionist. You got a chair. So many drills.
Mm-hmm.
And all you have to do is walk in, and everyone just assumes you're the dentist there.
Well, for how long do I have to do this for, though?
You could do this on your own schedule, and you still make...
Yeah, I'm just coming in to audition a few dentists for my teeth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I just wanted to let you go ahead and do
your
thing.
Sure, absolutely. Like, yeah. Have a seat there.
All right.
How many teeth do you have?
32.
Oh, is that usual?
I'm pretty sure that's how the amount of adult teeth that...
Excuse me, is this an open call?
I'm not
in the union, but I'd like to audition.
Oh, that voice. You may have some competition there, doctor. Or dentist.
I am a dentist.
Yes, this is the open call for the dentistry from my mouth.
Teeth I clean.
What?
Teeth, comma, I clean.
Okay, you're hired.
Okay, I gotta get online and leave a bad review about a particular service. So, I mean, I predict I'll probably be doing this for the rest of my life.
I mean, it's, you found your thing, I found my thing. Isn't that great? Like, I feel like we have that focus.
Yeah.
In common.
I guess we're not so different after all.
Yeah.
All right, well, I tell you what. Why don't we go out on another date?
Okay.
And this time we'll go to like a real restaurant.
You know what? I'm going to make a prediction on which restaurant.
Okay.
I'm writing it down here on a slip of paper. And now say what the restaurant was.
The old spaghetti factory. What? Wait a minute.
Right there on the paper.
The new spaghetti factory?
Well, I was just a little bit off.
But is there a new spaghetti factory?
Yeah, welcome to the new spaghetti factory.
Thank you.
We make sure that you know you are getting spaghetti in a bowl and not on a plate.
Okay, is that the new part?
That's the new part.
That's right. And we see the new spaghetti factory takes place in 2043 when Italia has been conquered by multiple other countries.
I'm sorry, that's when the restaurant takes place?
Yes. It's yeah. a future Italian restaurant where Jamaica conquered Italy.
I like to know the
period. Who did? Sorry.
Jamaica.
Jamaica.
I like to know the period of a restaurant before, mm-hmm. like what time the restaurant is
taking place. Oh, that's your thing, I guess.
Yeah.
Wow, well, this is very exciting.
Yeah. I mean, all these drinks are blue and they come out of square glasses.
Yes, right. Mm-hmm. And here is your joint. Future.
Oh, thank you very much.
That's also in the future.
Yeah.
Although great. I guess that's in the present.
Legalize it.
Can I start with the Rasta Primavera?
Sure.
Yes, you can. Ayo, ayo, ayo! Yo, Jimbo!
I'll have the Buya Kaskadi.
Oh!
Yo, one order of the Buya Kaskadi! Anything else for you? Would you guys like some...
And just some unlimited salad.
Unlimited salad.
That is the one thing we kept over from the old spaghetti factory. I'll bring that right away. And by the way, can I just say, you two look cute together.
Thank you yes. very much. We're very welcoming of you.
Thank you.
That's what makes us new. Italians who welcome gay people.
It's very new. It's very new. Mm-hmm. You know, Jimmy, there's something about this date that I think is magical.
Oh, what a good joke.
Thank you.
That might be the first joke that I've laughed at.
Ever in life?
Of yours.
We should let you know that in the future, laughing is a bond of marriage. Whoa. So please bow your heads and we'll insert these marriage chips into your neck. <Gra-ka-ka>.
And it all happened in a place called Spontaneation. Allie Beardsley! Where can people find you online? Should they wish to find you and should you wish to be found? And what would you like to tell people to go see or hear?
Thank you so much, Paul. I currently am on a show called Dimension 20, which is a Let's Play where we play Dungeons & Dragons.
Mm-hmm.
We just finished our first season, so people can find that.
Congratulations.
On Dropout TV, dropout.tv. Very proud of it.
Dropouts, we're making a positive now.
Yeah.
Jacquise Neal, same yes. questions.
You can find me on all things at Jacquise Neal and Culture Kings. Go listen to it. Please. Please.
He said please.
Please go listen to it. We need you.
What's the point of doing a podcast if nobody's listening to it?
Then we would just be talking and that's boring.
You guys have fulfilled your part of the bargain.
Yes, now we need you.
That's right. The onus is on the audience as always. Chris Grace.
Hello.
Give me the stuff.
I'm in Magic to Do Thursdays at 7 at UCB. Often in Baby Wants Candy. It's Saturday, Fridays at 7. I show up on Saturdays. Weirdly enough, I started Magic as a hobby recently.
Did you really?
I did, and I started an Instagram because I was annoying people by putting up clips of me trying out magic tricks. So I made a separate Instagram.
Not to make it a separate account.
Called ambitious.chris. Where I'm really bad at magic, and I put up little clips of me doing it.
Is that your magic name, Ambitious, the Ambitious Chris?
Well, there's a thing called the Ambitious Card Routine. So
all right.
My brand.
What'd you think of that? It's not a bad
sure.
name.
So it was just fortuitous that was the suggestion.
Well, there you have it.
So I put some Easter eggs in there for magic nerds.
And for people and for Christians, devout Christians.
Yes,
mm-hmm. You need that.
You gotta
leave
those eggs out.
Evan Schletter, Evan Schletter on all the things. If you'd like to seek out Evan Schletter's non-spontaneous nation work, and you should, go to evanschletter.com and enjoy all that he has to offer because Evan Schletter is only the best. How do you spell Evan Schletter? It's very simple. EbanschLetter. As for me, Go to paulftompkins.com/live to see all of my live dates. I got a bunch of shows coming up at Sketchfest in San Francisco. I'll be there January 18th through the 20th. I'm doing 6 shows in 3 days. And then we got the Bajillionaires returning to UCB Franklin here in Los Angeles. Mark Evan Jackson and I are doing a show for as a benefit for the Detroit Creativity Project in Detroit at the Fillmore Theater on Friday, January 25th. That is just me and Mark doing a 2-man improv show that is going to be a very special evening. We're going to be wearing tuxedos. I think that's it for me. Thank you to Engineer Ryan for engineering us all the way to the end of the show, which this is. Goodbye forever. Until next week, this is Paul F. Tompkins saying, Semper in Presenti.